News Team coverage. 94.9 WSJM News Now.
This is the WSJM News Week in Review Podcast for November 10, 2017. I'm Mike Alarney. Well, voters in Benton Harbor this week saying yes to a city income tax. Whirlpool is bracing to work with the city on that. The company's Jeff Noel telling us that Whirlpool's take on the proposal was that it would be bad for economic development in the city.
We really need more people to create jobs and move in and to become residents of the city of Benton Harbor. And income tax in such a small area is just one other reason not to do so.
He says it's not just employees of Whirlpool, but also the company that'll have to pony up some money.
Companies doing business in the city of Benton Harbor will also pay a 1% income tax to this program.
Noel added there's now a disincentive for a Whirlpool employee to work in Benton Harbor as compared to working in a surrounding community. Tells us the task, though, is for everybody to work together to make sure it's done appropriately. And with that tax going through, there will now be 23 cities in Michigan with a local income tax. It'll be 1% for city residents, a 0.5% for non-residents who work in the city. Another city with that tax is Port Huron. City Manager James Freed telling us this week it's helped that city avoid bankruptcy during the recession. And as an income tax, well, it's more stable for them than a property tax would be.
Everyone complains about it, of course, but at the end of the day, they still like their services.
Lapeer also has a city income tax, and their city manager, Dale Kirbison, says three city employees manage it. Employers based in the city withhold it from paychecks. As for residents who work outside of the city of Lapeer,
taxes are often paid quarterly by the private individual, and they're based on an estimate from their previous year's income.
Most pay it quarterly. Sometimes the city does have to track down those who have not paid, then it usually gets it cleared up. We've also reached out to several other communities, including Benton Harbor, to get some more answers and have not yet heard back. There were some surprises in the St. Joseph city elections. Two incumbents for the city commission, Fran Chickering and Mary Goff, lost to a pair of newcomers, Peggy Getty and Laura Goes. Mayor Mike Gary telling us that kind of change doesn't happen often in St. Joe, but he's looking forward to working with his new commissioners.
Our residents have spoken, and now it's our duty to provide the best service we can for the city.
It's not the end of it, though. A commission seat vacated recently by the resignation of Chris Hugel is still open, and the new commission will have to appoint somebody to fill that through November 2019.
We'll talk about this on Monday night and come up with the best solution that we feel for the city.
Gary tells us the two new commissioners will be sworn in Monday, be seated around 7:30 p.m. He saluted Chickering and Goff for their years of service, as he expects they'll continue to serve the community, but in a new way. Gary says he wants to remain mayor, and he's asked the other three commissioners for their support. South Haven's new mayor will be Scott Smith. Voters in the city went to the polls Tuesday like they did everywhere else and selected Smith to be the new mayor over opponent Paul Vandenbosch. The new mayor telling us he knows what his priorities are.
Economic development, diversifying the economy, partnerships with the township, and really working with the schools, including the South Haven Public Schools, LMC, and really just kind of looking at what we can do to improve kind of the business climate. I think we have a great community, we have a strong community. I want to continue to build on what we've been doing. We've addressed infrastructure needs.
And city council seats in South Haven were won by Joe Reeser and George Sleeper. A Southwest Michigan woman had her ex-boyfriend sentenced to life in prison. No parole for the deaths of her two young children in a South Haven area apartment nearly 25 years ago in a fire.
Krista McFadden and Clint Dunning were sentenced yesterday after being found guilty of two counts each of first-degree murder in the November 29, 1992 deaths of McFadden's children, 5-year-old Amber Rainey and 3-year-old Robert Rainey. The prosecutor argued McFadden and Dunning set the fire the night before she was expected to lose custody of the children. McFadden and Dunning were tried together during a nearly month-long proceeding before separate juries in Van Buren County Circuit Court. Defense attorney said a fire investigator reported there was no proof the fire was arson. Andrew Green reporting.
The state Senate this week approving legislation allowing concealed weapons in current gun-free zones like schools, dorm rooms, and bars. Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekoff is the sponsor.
Citizens have the right to be safe and secure, to defend themselves and their loved ones. Responsible, well-trained, and I will say the highest-trained, licensed gun owners may very well be the deterrent to those individuals who seek out gun-free zones as opportunities to commit heinous acts.
Democratic Senator Vincent Gregory among the no votes.
My biggest fear is a situation in which good guys with guns ends up slowing down law enforcement and buying the shooter more time to kill more people and then get away. That would be an utter nightmare.
And three bills passed along party lines, 25 to 12. As Michigan News Network Lansing Bureau Chief Tim Skubick reports, Governor Snyder has been quiet on all of this until Thursday.
He did not say he would veto this, but here's what he did say. It hasn't really changed my position, referring to the Senate-passed legislation. Quote, I don't see any real changes from where we were. That is code for, this is not moving the ball in my direction.
Snyder vetoed similar bills 5 years ago. State of Michigan has been able to collect more than 791,000 pounds of food and $320,000 with its latest harvest gathering food drive. Michigan Secretary of State's office works with the Michigan Attorney General on that drive every year, and Secretary of State Ruth Johnson tells us the items go to food pantries.
The good thing is all food that's collected stays in the community where it's donated. There's no tax dollars involved, and harvest gathering is based entirely on people's generosity. They can bring something from your pantry as long as it's non-perishable and the date on it's still good.
Enough food was collected to make 2.3 million meals. Since harvest gathering started 27 years ago, it's resulted in the collection of more than $10 million in 11 million. Meals. What area business will soon be picked as the next recipient of Celebration Cinema's Celebrated Service Award? Theater chain's Emily Lokes says the award recognizes businesses in their service areas who go the extra mile. Local nominees have been announced, and the votes are now being taken.
We've got your bar and grills, we've got tattoo parlors, we've got hair salons. There's a whole number of different kinds of businesses involved. And those businesses' nominations are based on real experiences that our people have had in those businesses that have really inspired them.
We have a list of the nominees at WSJM.com. The winner gets $5,000 and a promo at the theater for a year. You can vote via text message or at CelebratedService.com through November 20th. With summer's warmth now just a memory, many homeowners are reaching for the thermostat that pushes on to make sure everybody's aware of resources to help keep the heat on this winter. Whitney Skeens is with Consumers Energy and tells us there are income-based payment plans and debt forgiveness programs that customers can take advantage of, as well as a large grant recently given out to service organizations across Michigan.
Nearly $50 million in energy assistance funding, and those dollars are available for programs that not only help the customer pay their energy bill, but also support a path to self-sufficiency.
Says prevention is the best strategy and strongly recommends families look at their budgets and apply for help early rather than getting into a pinch down the road. And some positive news to close things out this week. St. Joseph's School Superintendent Ann Carden is in Washington, D.C. this week, along with Lincoln Principal Craig Hubble and kindergarten teacher Heather Bartz, as they accepted Lincoln School's National Blue Ribbon Award. School was selected for the award from the National Blue Ribbon Schools Program, which highlights schools that model academic excellence and sound practice that other schools should try to match. More than 8,500 schools across the country have received the award since it began in 1982. Lincoln was picked this year. Superintendent Carden tells us the award for Lincoln represents the efforts of the entire Lincoln School staff and families. Principal Hubble says it's the school's mission to reach every child every day. Congratulations to everybody at Lincoln. And that's the week that was for November 10th, 2017. In the WSJM Newsroom, I'm Michael Arney.